For the past several weeks, I have on Sunday mornings been presenting a series of lessons on the eldership and the importance of that work, the value of it, and the qualifications of elders. And that applies to me, being an elder of this church, some things that I need to think about and that will help me in my work as an elder, and also encouraging others to think about that as well. But I'm going to preach to myself again tonight by talking about the work of an evangelist. I'm an evangelist, I'm an elder, and I want to talk about what is that work and how is that work to be done. Let me ask you this question. Let's say Paul was desiring to work as an evangelist with the church here. We were looking for an evangelist to come and work with us. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, was desiring to work as an evangelist with the church here. Would we invite him to work with us? I remind you, he was not married, and he did not have children. But I think we would all agree that he would be a wonderful choice to work as an evangelist with this church. But what were some of the characteristics of Paul and his work that would make him an excellent choice in working with this church? So as I talk about the work of an evangelist, I want to talk about what kind of evangelist was the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was an apostle, but he was also an evangelist. He preached the gospel. And so as we look at his work, we're going to make application to his work as an evangelist, as it would apply to me, as it would apply to anyone who would do this kind of work, and what you should expect of any evangelist who would be doing this work. As we look at the Apostle Paul, we first find that he was one who cared for souls extremely. Look at the words that Paul uses to describe the concern that he had for others. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, "I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Why? For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh." He's talking about his fellow Jews who were not believers in Jesus. And Paul is exaggerating here. He's not saying that he would wish that he was accursed from Christ. And so he's exaggerating to emphasize the concern, the care that he had for his fellow Jews who were not Christians. "I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen." He describes in verse 2 that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. What he's describing here is the desire for the salvation of others. Have you ever felt that way? You know, I think about that as I go out and preach and teach, and I think, do I feel this way? Well, that was the Apostle Paul. That's the kind of heart that he had for others. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they may be saved." So Paul cared for others. Now, Paul would deprive himself of his rights to win the souls of others. He was not more concerned about what he wanted, and that he was not willing to give that up in order to save others. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." Paul became as much as he could like others in order that he might win them to Christ. He would give up his rights, give up what he desired, what he had always was accustomed of doing, gave that up in order that he might then identify with others in order to win them to Christ. Of course, this doesn't mean that he identified with their sin, that he participated in their wicked practices, but he became as much as he could like them in order to win them to Christ. In chapter 10, verses 31 and 33 of 1 Corinthians, concerning the eating of meat, certain meats, that Paul had the right to do, he says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God." So he was concerned about those outside the church. "Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." He was willing to give up his rights in order to save others, so that he might not offend others, that he would be in a better position to bring them to Christ. Paul cared for the people in Thessalonica. Look the way it is stated in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." Now, think about that illustration here. A nursing mother who cherishes her own children. That's the care that he had for these in Thessalonica. "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." Paul cared for them. And notice also, Paul's joy and crown of rejoicing was their being saved. He said to them in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy." So he's talking about when the Lord comes, that His desire, His joy, His crown of rejoicing would be that they would be saved, they would stand before Christ in His presence, and to be able to live with Him for all eternity. Now, I want to tell you, that should be the heart of every evangelist, not only evangelist, but every Christian. We have that kind of desire for the salvation of others. But as we think about Paul, he was one who was committed to the Lord and to the Lord's work that he had been entrusted to him. You know, Paul was called to be an apostle. And that's stated various times. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, it was not of men that he was called, but Christ directly called him. And so I know we understand that this was to be an apostle, but he took that call very seriously, and involved in his work as an apostle was evangelism, was the preaching of the gospel. And he took his work very seriously, and this would be the way any evangelist would take his work. Paul took his call to be an apostle very seriously. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning with verse 14, he says, "Even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." That is, they have the right to earn wages as a result of the preaching of the gospel. But Paul says, "But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." Now, Paul was a steward. A steward is one that has been entrusted with the property of another to be used according to the will of the owner of that property. Well, Paul had been entrusted with the gospel, with the mysteries of Christ, to reveal the mysteries of Christ. And as a steward, it was required of him to be faithful, to meet his responsibilities. And he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Because that had been the stewardship that had been entrusted to him. And you know, anyone that takes on the responsibility as an evangelist to go out and to preach the gospel needs to understand, or to have the same idea, the understanding of his stewardship as Paul did. It's been given to him the responsibility to preach. And his view should be, woe to me if I don't meet that responsibility. If I don't get that done. If I don't do it according to the will of my master who has entrusted me with this work. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And Paul was determined to be faithful in his work. He was a hard worker. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Why did Paul have such a commitment to his work? Well, it's because he understood the fear of the Lord, and it was the love of Christ that motivated him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the body according to what we've done, whether good or bad. We're all going to stand before Christ in judgment. And then he says in the very next verse, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Why did Paul preach the gospel? Well, he recognized the terror of the Lord. He recognized these people are going to stand before Christ in judgment one day. And that motivated him to be committed to the work of preaching. Look at what he says in this same chapter in verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us. That is, Christ's love for them. Christ's love for Paul is what he's talking about here. Compelled him. Because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. This is for all Christians. We all died because of our sins. But now we are alive. We who were dead are now alive because he died for us. Now he who died for us, and now we who are alive should no longer live for ourselves, but we are to live for him who died for us. No longer living unto ourselves. That was the attitude Paul had about his work. And that would be true of any evangelist, recognizing that he was saved by the grace of God, by the love of Christ, and that love of Christ compels him now to live for him and to serve him, to be committed, to be faithful in his stewardship. That's the kind of preacher, evangelist, that I need to be. But also, Paul did not preach to please men. As we look at the characteristics of Paul's preaching, it was not to please men. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Being a bondservant of Christ, which we all are, and striving to please men are incompatible. It's like oil and water. They just do not mix. If my desire is to please men, then I cannot be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. If I am a bondservant of Christ and committed to doing the work that God has called upon me to do in preaching the gospel, I cannot preach for the purpose of pleasing men, to tickle their ears, to make them like me. That's not the reason that I preach. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. You know, our hearts are going to be tested at times. There's going to be times of where I'm going to be tempted to say things that will be help people like me, to please them. I know that if I don't, they're going to get upset with me. Well, my commitment to the Lord is tested. Am I doing this to please God, or am I doing this to please men? And the evangelist is one who has to always preach the truth, no matter what others may think about that. He always preaches the truth because he does his work to please God and not to tickle the hearts of men. Look at what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You know, they maybe would want to try to make Timothy one of those teachers that they heap up for themselves to tickle their ears. They want Timothy to be that kind of preacher. Paul's saying, don't be that. You preach the word. You be urgent in season, out of season. You rebuke, you reprove, you exhort with all longsuffering. In other words, you do the work of an evangelist. And that doesn't mean that you're going to please men. You're here to please the Lord. But also, as we think about the Apostle Paul, he did not preach for money. Now, as we'll see, evangelists have the right to receive wages, but that's not the reason they preach. And that's not the reason that Paul preached. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said to the Thessalonians, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. We didn't desire what was yours." Verse 9, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God." He did not receive. He had the right to receive wages, but there were times it was not advantageous to the work. It was not beneficial to his work of preaching, and so he would not receive wages from brethren. Paul had the right to live the gospel, but there were times he did not use this right for the sake of the gospel. Look in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12. "If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." For some reason, his receiving wages from the church in Corinth would have hindered the gospel, hinder his work. And therefore, he forewent thee and did not use his right of receiving money from them. Matter of fact, in another place, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, "I robbed other churches, taking wages from them that I might minister unto you," to the church in Corinth. He received wages at times, but not when it would hinder him in the work that he was called upon to do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." And so Paul did not preach for money. Again, there's nothing wrong in receiving wages for the work, but that should never be the primary reason for the work that an evangelist does. Also, Paul practiced what he preached. Paul called upon people to follow his example. He lived the kind of life where he could say, "Follow me." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." Philippians 4 and verse 9, he says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Not only what they learned from his teaching, but what they saw in him, in the life that he lived. He could say, then, "These things do." And that should be true of every evangelist. Now, Paul was not perfect. Paul was not sinlessly perfect in his life, But he was the one who strove to serve the Lord, and if he committed sin, he would repent, seek God's forgiveness. That's the kind of life that Paul would have lived like any Christian does. And so that kind of person is one who then could be an example to others. And that should be true of every evangelist, that he's one that is an example before others, as Paul was. He behaved properly before others when he preached. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, he says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed." In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you." Paul was one who practiced what he preached. Paul knew that if he didn't preach what was right, or practice what was right, even though he went out and preached the gospel to others, that he himself could be rejected and be lost eternally. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." It's possible for an evangelist to get up every Sunday and preach great lessons, motivating lessons, the truth of God. It's what God wants people to do. But his lifestyle is such that he is living in sin and be lost eternally. And Paul did not want that to happen to him. And so he would buffet his body, bring it into subjection. Really, the idea of buffeting the body, of disciplining the body, that means beat it black and blue. And he didn't literally do that. But what he's talking about here is that he brought it under control. He beat it down. Those fleshly lusts, in order that he might do what was right. And that should be the attitude of every evangelist in the work that he does. An evangelist that lives a sinful life can do great harm for the cause of the Lord. He may preach the truth, but because of his influence on the community around them as well as in the church, he can do great, great harm. You know, the reason that David's child died, the one that was conceived with Bathsheba, the reason that the Lord gave is because you brought an occasion to blaspheme, for the nations to blaspheme. The Lord's concerned about that. And David was the king of Israel. He was in a position of influence. And here he had committed adultery, murder, taken this man's life to be his wife. And that brought a great occasion for blaspheming, for the world around to blaspheme. And I'll tell you, when someone such as an elder or an evangelist is before the world as one who preaches the truth of God, and then it becomes known that he is an adulterer or a thief, a liar and a cheat, it does great harm. And that's something that every evangelist would need to be concerned about. And something that I have to be very much concerned about is the life that I live before others and the influence that I exert toward others. Well, let's talk about the manner of Paul's preaching now. His preaching was consistent. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, Paul says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." What Paul taught in one church, he taught in another. He taught the truth, and that was wherever he went to preach it. He didn't preach to one church what they would like to hear, and when he was with another church, he'd preach what they would like to hear. No, his preaching was consistent. He always preached the truth, the same thing wherever he went. Also, his preaching was complete. In other words, he would tell them all they needed to hear. You remember what he said to the elders of the church in Ephesus, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." I've told you all you need to hear. And that may at times not be what they wanted to hear. But he told them all that they needed. Also, he preached what people needed and kept nothing back. He said to them in verse 20, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. And so an evangelist is always going to preach the truth wherever he is, and he'll preach the whole truth, the whole counsel of God. Also, his preaching was clear, sound, and intelligible. Look at Acts 17 when he came to Thessalonica. He came into the synagogue in Thessalonica. And it says, as his custom was, he went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Notice, reasoned with them, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded. As a result of his reasoning, explaining, and demonstrating, they were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. In other words, Paul preached what was clear and understandable, reasonable, and people were persuaded by that. An evangelist needs to preach that kind of preaching of where it's understandable, it's clear, it's reasonable, so that reasonable people will accept that. In Acts 19, verses 8 and 9, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew, the disciples reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. In chapter 26 and verse 25 it says, but he said, and this was before Festus, and Festus had said, you know, because of your much learning, you've become mad. And Paul says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. In other words, the preacher of the gospel is not to present incoherent screaming or fanatical yelling. His preaching needs to be reasonable, needs to be the truth. And Paul's preaching was true and reasonable so that people could understand it, and those who were seeking for truth would then find it and obey it. That's what an evangelist does. He strives to get the gospel out in a clear, sound, intelligible way. But also, his preaching was bold and aggressive. The word bold is used as it relates to their preaching. And the word bold indicated free speech. They freely preached the truth, whatever it was, regardless of the repercussions, regardless of how others might respond. He knew at times there would be those who would not appreciate it, would persecute him, but they would boldly preach anyway. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. In Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. This is when Paul desired to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. It says, and he declared to them how he, that is Paul, had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. And so he boldly proclaimed the word. He was not a coward. He did not soft pedal the truth because men would not like what he was preaching. Now, in preaching, boldly and aggressively, we do it with seasoned with salt. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one, each man. Well, that would be true of an evangelist as he boldly proclaims. He wants to be tactful in the presentation of that truth, but boldly present the truth. And also, his preaching was controversial. There were times that Paul entered into debates with others. As we've already mentioned, Paul reasoned with people. He reasoned with them over many times controversial matters. His reasoning with them then involved debating with them. He did not retreat from someone who would disagree with him and present an argument that may be against his or what he was preaching. No, he would stand up for the truth. In Acts 9, verse 29, it says, "And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him." Disputed indicates the idea he debated with them. Also in Acts 15, verses 1 and 2, when certain Judaizing teachers had come to Antioch, preaching that Gentiles had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses in order to be saved, it says in verse 2, "Therefore when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them," what? Debating with them. "They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question." In Philippians 1, verse 17, Paul says, "But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." Paul was ready to defend the gospel in the face of opposition, in the face of controversy. And that is true. And every evangelist, he's willing to debate the truth. You know, there are some who may say, "Well, I don't believe in debating. We're too busy saving souls to debate." Well, if I'm going to save certain souls, I'm going to have to debate with them. Am I going to just let those who are wanting to debate with me or going to get into a controversy with me, let them go to hell? No, I'm going to debate with them to try to convince them the error of their way, to show them the truth by means of debate. And that's what debating is all about. It's not to win an argument, but debating is for the purpose of convincing somebody the error of their way so that they may come to the truth. Well, these are some things about the Apostle Paul, his evangelistic work that I need to implement in my own work and always keep this before me. So I present this lesson to myself, but also to you so that you can demand that of me as an evangelist, and also that lessons that we can learn from this as we go out to carry the gospel to others. I may not be a full-time evangelist. A person may not be a full-time evangelist, but he is to be one who is striving to lead others to Christ. And that's what evangelism is all about, is spreading the good news, and we're all to be involved in carrying the good news of salvation in Christ to others. And these are some lessons that we all can learn as we apply this to our lives to help convert this city, this town, this area, and to carry the gospel to other parts of the world. That's our goal, because we care for souls. We want people to be saved. There may be some here tonight who need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. It may be that you're not a Christian. You've never become a Christian. If so, come to Jesus. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Now, that's what Jesus commanded. That's not what Lynn Huggins commanded. That's what Jesus commanded for one to be saved. And if you haven't done that, you've never been born again of water and the Spirit, we encourage you to come and render obedience to His gospel tonight. If you've become a Christian, you've fallen away, come back. Repent of your sins, confess your sins, and pray God for forgiveness. Come forward and we'll pray on your behalf. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.